Number 1. Dear Mr. Stevens, this is a reply to your inquiry about the shipment status of the desk you purchased at our store on September 26th. Unfortunately, the delivery of your desk will take longer than expected due to the damage that occurred during the shipment from the furniture manufacturer to our warehouse. We have ordered an exact replacement from the manufacturer, and we expect that delivery will take place within 2 weeks. As soon as the desk arrives, we will telephone you immediately and arrange a convenient delivery time. We regret the inconvenience this delay has caused you. Sincerely, Justin Upton.
Number 2. Garnet blew out the candles and lay down. It was too hot, even for a sheet. She lay there, sweating, listening to the empty thunder that brought no rain and whispered, "I wish the drought would end." Late in the night, Garnet had a feeling that something she had been waiting for was about to happen. She lay quite still, listening. The thunder rumbled again, sounding much louder, and then slowly, one by one, as if someone were dropping pennies on the roof, came the raindrops. Garnet held her breath hopefully. The sound paused. "Don't stop, please," she whispered. Then the rain burst strong and loud upon the world. Garnet leaped out of bed and ran to the window. She shouted with joy, "It's raining hard." She felt as though the thunderstorm was a present.
Number 3. How do you encourage other people when they are changing their behavior? Suppose you see a friend who is on a diet and has been losing a lot of weight. It's tempting to tell her that she looks great and she must feel wonderful. It feels good for someone to hear positive comments, and this feedback will often be encouraging. However, if you end the discussion there, then the only feedback your friend is getting is about her progress toward an outcome. Instead, continue the discussion. Ask about what she is doing that has allowed her to be successful. What is she eating? Where is she working out? What are the lifestyle changes she has made? When the conversation focuses on the process of change rather than the outcome, it reinforces the value of creating a sustainable process.
Number 4. In 1995, a group of high school students in Minor County started planning a revival. They wanted to do something that might revive their dying community. Minor County had been failing for decades. Farm and industrial jobs had slowly dried up, and no new jobs had appeared to replace them. The students started investigating the situation. One finding in particular disturbed them. They discovered that half of the residents had been shopping outside the county, driving an hour to Sioux Falls to shop in larger stores. Most of the things that could improve the situation were out of the students' control. But they did find one thing that they could practically do: inviting the residents to spend money locally. They found their first slogan: "Let's keep Minor dollars in Minor County."
Number 5. Fast fashion refers to trendy clothes designed, created, and sold to consumers as quickly as possible at extremely low prices. Fast fashion items may not cost you much at the cash register, but they come with a serious price. Tens of millions of people in developing countries, some just children, work long hours in dangerous conditions to make fast fashion. They work in factories often labeled sweatshops, and most are paid barely enough to survive. Fast fashion also hurts the environment. Clothes are manufactured using toxic chemicals and then transported around the world. This makes the fashion industry the world's second largest polluter. And millions of tons of discarded clothing piles up in landfills each year.
Number 6. If you want to protect yourself from colds and flu, regular exercise may be the ultimate immunity booster. Studies have shown that moderate aerobic exercise can more than halve your risk for respiratory infections and other common winter diseases. But when you feel sick, the story changes. Exercise is great for prevention, but it can be lousy for therapy, says David Neiman, the director of the Human Performance Lab. Research shows that moderate exercise has no effect on the duration or severity of the common cold. If you have the flu or other forms of fever-causing systemic infections, exercise can slow recovery and therefore is a bad idea. Your immune system is working overtime to fight off the infection, and exercise, a form of physical stress, makes that task harder.
Number 7. Eddie Adams was born in Pennsylvania. He developed his passion for photography in his teens when he became a staff photographer for his high school paper. After graduating, he joined the United States Marine Corps, where he captured scenes from the Korean War as a combat photographer. In 1958, he became staff at the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin, a daily evening newspaper published in Philadelphia. In 1962, he joined the Associated Press, AP, and after 10 years, he left the AP to work as a freelancer for Time magazine. The Saigon execution photo that he took in Vietnam earned him the Pulitzer Prize for Spot News Photography in 1969. He shot more than 350 covers of magazines with portraits of political leaders such as Deng Xiaoping, Richard Nixon, and George Bush.
Number 8. Shoes for schools. Your used shoes can go a long way. Brooks High School students, do you have old or unwanted shoes? Donate them for children in Africa. The profits from reselling the shoes will be used to build schools in Africa. What? You can give away all types of shoes, such as sneakers, sandals, boots, etc. Where? You can drop shoes off in the collection box on the first floor of the main building. When? Between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. throughout this semester. Shoes will be picked up on Tuesdays every 2 weeks. How? The shoes you donate need to be in a plastic bag. For more information, please call 413-367-1391. Thank you for your participation.
Number 9. My dad worked very late hours as a musician, until about 3 in the morning, so he slept late on weekends. As a result, when I was young, we didn't have much of a relationship other than one thing. My father constantly nagged me to take care of chores like mowing the lawn and cutting the hedges, which I hated. He was a responsible man dealing with an irresponsible kid. Memories of how we interacted seem funny to me today. For example, once he told me to cut the grass, but I decided to do just the front yard and postpone doing the back. But then it rained for a couple days and the backyard grass became so high I had to cut it with a sickle. That took so long that by the time I was finished, the front yard was too high to mow, and so on.
Number 10. One CEO in one of Silicon Valley's most innovative companies has a routine that would seem boring and creativity killing. He holds a 3-hour meeting that starts at 9 a.m. one day a week. It is never missed or rescheduled at a different time. It is so mandatory that all the executives cannot schedule any travel that will conflict with the meeting, even in this global firm. At first glance, there is nothing particularly unique about this. But what is unique is the quality of ideas that come out of the regular meetings. Because they don't need to care about planning the meeting or think about who will or won't be there, people can focus on creative problem solving.
Number 11. When meeting someone in person, body language experts say that smiling can portray confidence and warmth. Online, however, smiley faces could be doing some serious damage to your career. In a new study, researchers found that using smiley faces makes you look incompetent. The study says, contrary to actual smiles, smileys do not increase perceptions of warmth and actually decrease perceptions of competence. The report also explains perceptions of low competence, in turn, lessened information sharing. Therefore, you shouldn't use smiley faces in an email for work. The last thing you want is for your coworkers to think that you are so unprofessional that they don't want to share information with you.
Number 12. Training and conditioning for baseball focuses on developing strength, power, speed, quickness, and flexibility. Before the 1980s, strength training was not an important part of conditioning for a baseball player. People viewed baseball as a game of skill and technique rather than strength, and most managers and coaches saw strength training as something for bodybuilders, not baseball players. Unlike more isolated bodybuilding exercises, athletic exercises train muscle groups and functions as much as possible at the same time. They feared that weightlifting and building large muscles would cause players to become less flexible, less quick, and less skillful. Today, though, experts understand the importance of strength training and have made it part of the game.
Number 13. No one likes to think they're average, least of all, below average. A. Over the days and weeks from our resolution to change, we start to notice it popping up again and again. The old habit's well-practiced performance is beating our conscious desire for change into submission. B. This overconfidence in self-control can lead people to assume they'll be able to control themselves in situations in which, it turns out, they can't. This is why trying to stop an unwanted habit can be an extremely frustrating task. C. When asked by psychologists, most people rate themselves above average on all manner of measures, including intelligence, looks, health, and so on. Self-control is no different. People consistently overestimate their ability to control themselves.
Number 14. So a patient whose heart has stopped can no longer be regarded as dead. Traditionally, people were declared dead when their hearts stopped beating, their blood stopped circulating, and they stopped breathing. So doctors would listen for a heartbeat, or occasionally conduct the famous mirror test to see if there were any signs of moisture from the potential deceased's breath. It is commonly known that when people's hearts stop and they breathe their last, they are dead. But in the last half century, doctors have proved time and time again that they can revive many patients whose hearts have stopped beating by various techniques, such as cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Instead, the patient is said to be clinically dead. Someone who is only clinically dead can often be brought back to life.
Number 15. At the Leipzig Zoo in Germany, 34 zoo chimpanzees and orangutans participating in a study were each individually tested in a room, where they were put in front of two boxes. An experimenter would place an object inside one box and leave the room. Another experimenter would enter the room, move the object into the other box, and exit. When the first experimenter returned and tried retrieving the object from the first box, the great ape would help the experimenter open the second box, which it knew the object had been transferred to. However, most apes in the study did not help the first experimenter open the second box if the first experimenter was still in the room to see the second experimenter move the item. The findings show the great apes understood when the first experimenter still thought the item was where he or she last left it. According to the study, great apes can distinguish whether or not people have a false belief about reality and use this understanding to help people.
Number 16 to 17. Many high school students study and learn inefficiently because they insist on doing their homework while watching TV or listening to loud music. These same students also typically interrupt their studying with repeated phone calls, trips to the kitchen, video games, and internet surfing. Ironically, students with the greatest need to concentrate when studying are often the ones who surround themselves with the most distractions. These teenagers argue that they can study better with the TV or radio playing. Some professionals actually oppose their position. They argue that many teenagers can actually study productively under less than ideal conditions because they've been exposed repeatedly to background noise since early childhood. These educators argue that children have become used to the sounds of the TV, video games, and loud music. They also argue that forcing students to turn off the TV or radio while studying will not necessarily improve their academic performance. This position is certainly not generally shared, however. From their own experiences, many teachers and experts are sure that students studying in a noisy environment often learn inefficiently.